And welcome back to Community Connections. And being the fourth Wednesday of the month, I have on the line with me Cindy McLeish, our local MP. She can't be with us today. She's actually in Parliament doing what politicians do. So, first of all, welcome, Cindy.
Hello, Alan. Thank you. Doing a little bit something differently to what politicians normally do.
Are you? Tell us
it's
about
it. It's a non-sitting week.
Yep.
And, gosh, there's so many things happening at the moment that I'm being pulled, you know, in every direction today, so...
It's all going on. Cindy, well, what actually happens on a non-sitting week when you're in Parliament?
Oh, on a non-sitting week? Oh, gosh. We prepare for the sitting week. No, well, we do. But we also... That's when we're out and about. That's when you're having meetings, you're going to schools and organisations, you might be speaking at functions, you might be visiting health services. That's when you find out what needs to be done.
Yep.
You know, you might be probably spend a little bit more time on paperwork, you know, the emails and returning phone calls, dealing with issues that people bring up, you know, like, it's all well and good, you know, you meet with people and raise issues, but then you've got to actually do the work.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of that gets, some of the staff can prepare that in the sitting week and then you get to kind of finalise that in the non-sitting week, but it's when you're out and about.
Yep. Cindy, is Parliament finished now for the year?
No.
Oh, no, there's still more sittings, are there?
Federal are finishing this week.
Yep.
And state we finish next week.
Oh, right.
So we've got one more sitting, which will take us, gosh, it's December next week.
Yep.
Fancy that. That'll take us to the, you know, the 5th of December, and then we'll have a recess and for the rest of December, January.
Yep.
And again, you know, you might take a couple of weeks off, but people are then, you know, out and about having meetings because people want you to see things. Sometimes if they've got a problem with a pipeline that's a leaking pipe from a, say, a Melbourne water property, whatever.
Or potholes.
People want to show you.
or big potholes.
Yeah. I get a lot of photos. But people will, you know, tell me about things or they'll say, can you come and have a look at this? Can you come and say you understand it exactly what we're talking about? Yeah. So you're out and about a lot. You're going to a lot of community events.
Yep.
But today has been a day in the city for me.
Right.
And this morning I started at the Vietnamese Women's Association, the Australian Vietnamese Women's Association. They had a family violence, not a workshop, but an event this morning.
Right.
Bringing, you know, highlighting that. Then I have just ducked from there into the Soroptimist International Victoria Foundation launch, where, and I might talk about that in a minute, where this organisation hands out grants of some size to organisations doing some particular good in key areas, particularly around women. And then I'm talking to you this afternoon. Yep. Well, just after that, I have Mansfield Secondary College coming in.
Oh, good.
They're here now. They're doing a role play.
Oh, yeah, in the chamber?
In the chamber. So they do, you know, a fair income. It's fairly robust too, I believe. So I'll duck in there when I've finished with you and we'll have a chat to them to see, you know, how that went and what they learnt and what have you. But then I've also got public accounts and estimates, which is related to my shadow portfolios. And this afternoon, the bureaucracy are in and they get questioned by a committee. So I've had to put the questions together. Someone else asks them, but I have to be on hand in case they are just need some advice on the next question.
Need more information.
Not so much need more information, say push them on this. They're not telling the truth.
Well, I guess that happens.
Get the government to tell us this. You know, so, you know, it gives us an opportunity. It's about performance outcomes. So it's about the government departments and how they've performed. And, you know, they put their performance outcomes out, they publish them, and then we quiz them. So it's a, you know, all parties are involved Yep. Oh, only one from the crossbench.
Yep.
They're involved in the two major parties, but they ask questions that are answered, and it might, what was this morning's was on Mikey Public Transport, Ports and Freight, so,
yep.
you know, there might be some things in the news tonight, actually. There was already about Mikey, and they didn't want to answer some of the questions.
All right. Sandy, I've got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
No worries.
Thanks. Cindy, just before we go on to the next subject, I think you might be interested. You and I often talk about the CFA, and you know I've got a lot of time for these people going yep. out at all hours. I actually had the Healesville CFA in the hour before you, between 12 and 1.
Oh, Brian, did you have?
Yeah, I had David, the communications guy, whatever he is, and we're talking all about, because I'm really keen for people to get on with their fire plans and also to get their houses, you know, get the fire stuff away from the houses and trees overhanging houses and that. So we had them in the last hour. But anyway.
Yeah, right. You
mentioned in passing chiropodists. Now, I'm not sure what they... I've heard
Chiroptimist.
Of them. Chiroptimist. That's it. I messed it up. What actually are they? I know they're a group. What do they do? And you've had something to do with them of late.
I have. They represent, it's a philanthropic organisation who want to get financial commitment to advance the lives of women and girls. Right. And they do this through opportunity and education and equality. And so... what they had was they've now got a fund. They had a big old house in South Yarra, apparently.
Mm.
and they sold it. And so selling it has given them quite a substantial pot of money. So now they're giving out grants to organisations that whose values align with that. So, you know, with progressing education, for example, and there was it was pretty interesting actually to see who was there, because some of the ones that you'd know, like the Twentyman Foundation, that's somebody that everybody knows. But there was a group in Cobram, for example, who do community meals, but for the they get out to the most needy, and it's a group of kind of women in business who do that. So they've been they're one of the ones who've were recipients of a grant today. But there was also another school which really got to me, the River Nile School in Melbourne. And they develop they have a literacy program for secondary school students where they don't speak English at a proficient level, but they've got to, you know, to pass their studies, they've got to get up. And they have like 47, I think it was, she said, different languages that they deal with. And, you know, for an organisation like that, $20,000 grant is, you know, particularly useful. As I said, the Twentyman Foundation, Macaulay, people know a lot about Macaulay, do a lot in family domestic violence, and they've got a particular operation out of Ballarat that received some funding. And the most interesting one actually was the $100,000 grant, which was for the next 5 years, each year I think it was, which was pretty extraordinary, for women's property initiatives. It was trying to, you know, work on the homelessness or impending homelessness for women. And you know, like, we know that's a problem in our area.
Yeah.
So,
Cindy, is it designed to try and get them into their own homes or to build homes that they can rent?
Yeah, it seemed to be building the homes that they could rent. And somebody said, yeah, they had a video. One of the women said she slept for the first 3 days because she knew she was safe.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Because they're very secure. But, you know, they're more than a bed, sis. You know, like, they've got a reasonable bedroom, a kitchen and living area. Pretty well, it's a one-bedroom unit. But it's safe. And for another woman that they interviewed, you know, she'd been living in her car.
Yeah, I've heard of those, some people like that. It's incredible that a bloke in particular could turn against someone that, they were in love with, they married them, some of them had children with them, and down the track, I find it hard to believe that a relationship can turn that toxic.
Terribly toxic. One of the women that was in a family violence was actually her brother. And, you know, we had that terrible, terrible incident in Yarra Junction a few months back, and that was family, but it was siblings.
I mean, I got a sister and I grew up arguing with her, but I was never, and I think every other bloke and girl did, but I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, my brother and I always argued. Still do.
Well, I was going to say, I don't so much now, but I certainly did with her. But, I mean, I can never understand how any person thinks they got the right to hit another person.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Oh, Cindy, I've got to take a quick break. I'm going to depress myself here in a minute.
and we'll
come back and we'll talk some more.
When you get mad. home with you. I don't want to miss the school. You should have reminded me.
As usual.
You look so darn cute when you get mad. Melts away my troubled heart, and you don't seem so bad. When I see that twinkle in your eye, we take the phone off the hook and put the kids to bed. Forget what we said and love away.
Talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, you want to talk about something with the Vietnamese ladies this morning with some spatulas?
Well, Fire Rescue Victoria were there, and I was thinking about it as you were talking a moment ago.
Yep.
About, you know, fires and getting the message out.
Yep.
And there were these wooden spatulas, and they were all written on in Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy from Fire Rescue, what do they say? And he said, no food should be left no cooking food should be left unattended.
Fair enough, too.
And he said, I thought that was fantastic. I had them in all languages. I said, do you have them in English as well? And he said, yes, we do. But, you know, like we worry a lot more in our area about, you know, bushfires and grass fires and forest fires. In the city, it's a lot more house fires.
Yes.
And they can start from, you know,
well, one of the...
something simple.
Yeah, well, the CFA guy was talking about that they went to one, was actually up here, and it was just caused by an electric blanket.
Oh, I tell you, a friend of mine got rid of all the electric blankets years ago because...
Well, they seem to be a problem, don't they?
Yeah, they can be. They can be.
Yeah.
You know, a number of things actually can be problematic, and batteries now, you know, like...
Yes.
The lithium batteries that you have, you know, in our phones. If a phone gets too hot and explodes, you know, you've got to submerge it in water.
Yeah, and unfortunately, people leave them sitting on beside the bed and sometimes just sitting on paper and all that sort of stuff. And before you know it, they get too hot, you've got a real problem on your hands.
And the fire at Eastern Golf Club, which burnt Eastern Golf Club down, you know, millions and millions of dollars, was started from, I believe, a... battery in one of the, I don't think it was a buggy, I think it was a somebody, yeah, maybe, you know, somebody's personalised buggy that you can put your golf clubs on and it's remote controlled. I think it was started in one of them, or one of the little club cars.
Sure, yeah, you've got to be very, and we were saying, and with the CFA, they can't bank on, you can't have a bank on having a truck sitting at your gateway because... You know, it's a big area and there aren't a lot of fire trucks around up here. We've got to take
that's exactly right. And people, they're going to be, the brigade are going to be at the front line.
Yes.
You know, they're not going to be quickly running around knocking on everybody's doors. People need to be aware and mindful very much.
Yeah. You know, my view on CFA, I think they do a fantastic job. And, you know, they've all got to get up. And I was saying to David, they've all got to get up and go to their jobs the next day.
That's right. That's now, right. In the old days, it was mostly farmers. You know, yes. And got together with their neighbours and all getting together. So it was easier because, you know, you worked for yourself. And it is easier for people who work for themselves. If you're a tradesman or a builder or whatever, you've got a lot more flexibility if you're for yourself.
Yep. And some of them use up their holidays and all sorts of... Cindy, I want to keep moving on. You went to some of the Upper Yarra school the other day.
Oh, last night.
Last night.
At Karalaika. Yes, the Year 12 group from the Upper Yarra Secondary College graduated. And, look, there were some ripper kids there. There was, I think, 60 kids that they had or something like that. You know, one of the biggest cohorts that they've had at Upper Yarra Secondary College for... for some time.
Yep.
Yeah. And so they were all... Karalaika is quite a large venue. I don't know if you've been there. It can have, yeah, 400 or 500 people there. Yep. And I think it had probably close to 400 people there last night, all celebrating, you know, the kids' achievements. And, you know, they all... Everyone that was there was graduating. Some did the VCAL. It's got a new name these days. And others did the... just regular. But, you know, you do have some top of the classes and you have... awards for various things. I have an award that I hand out every year, and it was actually won by a young, or given to a girl called Emily Brown, who, you know, is a real winner. And they describe her as a quiet achiever, somebody who gets things done with, you know, with lovely manner and, you know, empathy and, you know, integrity, that sort of thing. And she's, you know, pretty bright too. And it was really lovely to be part of that and to see the kids. The school captains were the two girls, or four girls actually, you know, were really articulate. It was lovely. And, you know, the kids, you know, they stop and some of them are given opportunities to reflect on their school life and how quickly it passes. And, you know, they're in year 7 and this was happening, and then in year 8 or year 9, and then all of a sudden they've just finished. And and it is all of a sudden.
Yeah. And when you listen to the news every night, you would think that every child in Victoria was a deadbeat, wouldn't you?
Oh, look, they weren't. They were, you know. And, look, there'll be kids who'll be glad to see the back end of school. Don't get me wrong.
I did.
Yeah, there's plenty of those. Always happy to have the back end of the school, you know. But there were kids who will go on and, you know, they'll get a good trade. Some of them will go to university. You know, everyone will have a different pathway. But I sort of, when I speak to them, say, look, it doesn't matter if you get your choice wrong at this point.
No, no.
You know,
the days are gone of entering a job and staying there forever, aren't they? And some of these kids and will change their careers, not just their jobs. They'll change their careers 2 and 3 times during their lifetime.
Well, like I did. Like I did. But, you know, they've probably changed part-time jobs as well.
Yep. Cindy, I've got to take a break and then we'll be back with more. that was a request for Dennis, and it was Patsy Cline and I Fall to Pieces. He loves to hear from Patsy Cline. Now, we've talked to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, you wanted to talk about the Yarra Valley Soccer Club.
I did, but gosh, I could have put in a request for Patsy Cline too.
You like her
too? Love Patsy. I love Patsy.
She's terrific, actually. Yeah, she really is. I play her occasionally on a Sunday.
Oh, do you?
Yep. Now.
Well, I heard a little whisper about the Yarra Valley Soccer Club.
Yep.
The kids, the junior section. And yep. They are going to be running out as mascots at a Melbourne Victory game soon.
Are they?
They do. They are.
That'd be terrific.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
How did they get that gig, do you know? Or doesn't
they know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody.
That'd be terrific for them, though.
It is. It is. And, you know, grassroots support, sport is such a great thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've got kids, I think. They've got 23 or so players who are, you know, between 5 and 12. So, yeah, they've got a whole bunch of little kids.
Yep.
And, you know, they get excited. You've got to keep them enthusiastic for the game because, you know, sport is so, you know, physical activity. You know, it's really important to keep moving and, you know, sport where you're playing in a team, you know, brings you with other people. You have to learn to communicate in different ways.
Which is terrific.
And all of those sorts of things.
Yep.
And so, you know, they get an opportunity. And at Melbourne Victory are playing Adelaide, and it's a Saturday the 13th of December. So there'll be a bunch of kids in the Upper Yarra who belong to the Yarra Valley Soccer Club who'll be getting excited about being mascots. I think they're running out with the team. I'm not exactly sure of all the arrangements, but I'm actually going to be going to that game as well.
That's terrific.
So that'll be a bit of fun.
Yeah, terrific for the kids. Almost a great Christmas present for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's kind of hard when you've got to look at getting a whole bunch of kids down and what day and what night and, you know, when they're home teams and when school holidays and not school holidays and working in all of these things. But it seems to have fallen into place. And so there's some kids from the Yarra Valley Soccer Club going down, you know, next in a couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah,
just
might be two and a half weeks. Now, you often hand out hampers to the schools and that. Are you doing that this year, or somebody told me they might be gingerbread huts?
Yeah, I do gingerbread houses at the end of the year.
Right.
So I've just started scooting around some of the schools, you know, dropping the gingerbread houses. We get them mostly through the local bakeries. Well, we do. We get them through the local bakeries and I donate them. So it's just something else for the schools at the end of the year. Often they've probably spent all their school budgets on everything. And so it'll be another donation, like a prize they can put in a raffle. It can be a winning prize. You know, it can be a door prize if they've got a big event or whatever. I let the schools choose what it is that how they want to use it. But I'll be out and about a bit tomorrow.
Oh, that sounds terrific. Cindy,
I've got to drive carefully when I've got, you know, 10 gingerbread houses in the car, let me tell you.
I was going to say, you don't want to hit a pothole and break them up.
No, we've got the special icing in the office that you can repair them.
Oh, have you?
Just in case. So they told us what to buy. You know, like sometimes the lollies will fall off or whatever and you've got the... I think hot water probably works. You know, you melt a bit of the icing and it kind of glues back on. But we never use glue if we...
you don't want to be eating glue, do you?
No, you certainly don't. You certainly don't.
Cindy, I've got to take a quick break and then I'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? He was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky. She's 41 and her daddy still calls her baby. And all the folks round Brownsville say she's crazy. Because she walks downtown with a suitcase in her hand. Looking for a
for his bride. Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky? Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? Mansion in the sky.
That was Tanya Tucker, and it's hard to believe when she made that record, she was 13 years of age, which has happened with a number of Brenda Lee, and a number of those people made their hit records when they were 13. 13 was, yeah, anyway, probably lucky to be able to blow my own nose. But anyway, Sydney, you want to give us a
13, gosh, I don't remember.
Well, I can tell you what, I wasn't making any hit records at 13. But that's true. Tanya Tucker made that record, but was a hit at 13, and Brenda Lee, which I'll be playing from next week onwards again in December, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. She recorded that when she was about 14, 15, and Little Patty,
yeah, wow.
Little Patty made her first record at 13. Anyway, I'm reminiscing. That's not what we're here to talk about. Sydney, you want to talk about a bridge that's been fixed at last?
Well, it hasn't been fixed, oh. Alan. It's being fixed.
Oh, I thought it had been finished.
No, the D-slip bridge, it's a restoration project. So 4 years ago, probably more than 4 years ago, well over 4 years ago, there was a tree that damaged the bridge and they closed it. It's just at the back of Millgrove at the top of the Shaughnessy Trail, and it's probably about, I don't think it's a kilometre in. So, you know, where people have the bike trails and people run. And so it's been closed pretty well for more than 4 years. It's a beautiful old big trestle bridge, and that it was, yeah, looking a bit dodgy anyway, but they had a bit of a bypass. But the bypass, you know, you have to carry your bike down, you know, down the slope and then up, and, you know.
Oh,
no. And even for people on feet, you know, like it's not been great, but it's been over 4 years, and so it's expected now to be finished sometime in 2026, in March 2026. So it'll probably be 5 years it'll have been out of action.
Yep.
But the community have long wanted this to be completed, and you know, I think that the staff from Parks Victoria probably unfairly cop a bit from people, you know, wanting it open, but the government had to fund it. So it's finally part of their asset regeneration program, they've called it, but I nearly fell over when I saw that today, that it's going to be, you know, hopefully open by March. But it's been, you know, it'll be 5 years by that point, I reckon.
Oh, it's a long while, isn't it?
Now, it's a long while, but finally, we've got some action.
Cindy, we're coming. Well, you will be with us on Christmas Eve, but it'll only be very short time. So, basically, how would you wind? What would you like to say about this year? We're coming to the end of the year. You've obviously got a lot of things to come up. Do you want to tell us a bit about what's coming up and how you saw the year, please?
Oh, gosh, the year's busy. You know, and someone said to me once, it's a function of being older. You know, when you're a kid, if you're five, you know, 20% of your life is a year, you know, but 20% of your life when you're older. It's a substantial chunk, so the time flies much quicker. And there's, again, I've just seen communities step up and, you know, things haven't always been great. We've had a big mess up on the Melba Highway with the truck detours, and the communities and the schools and everybody were, you know, really concerned and speaking out, which was terrific about people having, you know, the confidence to ring me and to say, we need to fix this, this isn't good. And I see that consistently, that people are always looking out for the betterment of their community. You know, they're often applying for grants and they want my office to provide letters of support. And because I've been to so many of the places, it's easy to do those. Because, you know, at the end of the day, everyone wants their community to be the best place to live in.
But, and you know, they know what's best, or they know what they want most too, don't they?
That's exactly right. You know, you can't not respect the, you know, what community sentiment is about certain things. Because, you know, if you get an email, if I get one email about something, you know, you get one email about something. But if you get about six or seven or ten, all of a sudden you think, hang on, this is a bit of an issue. You know, for 10 people to be speaking up, and, you know, like if they're not all in the same street or the same last name, you know that things are important. And so, you know, continuing to represent people's the views and the community will is something that is, you know, is still inspiring, seeing how many great things are out there. And the businesses, you know, whether I'm in a tourism thing, there's lots of people really trying to push tourism because it's the lifeblood of so many of our towns. You know, we've got the bike track, you know, the Warburton Highway, the bike path, and you've got, you know, beautiful walks as well, as we were just talking about, up in the hills. And now you've got the mountain bike destination, which has been, that's been a real highlight actually, for that to finally be open. You know, the Shire got beaten up pretty badly about that, but eventually, you know, managed to get it open and it became instantly busy. But, you know, the tourism for that area, for the Yarra Valley, you know, the chocolatry and the vineyards and cafes and everything in Healesville, you know, like it's just so good to see people really putting in, oh, their passion, I suppose it is, to make their communities better. And that never ceases to inspire me.
That's terrific. Now, you've mentioned already that you've been to a couple of these school graduations. Are they nearly finished, or have you got a whole lot more?
No, just starting. So I did Mansfield's Year 12 graduation on Friday night. That was in Maryjig. And then last night was Upper Yarra. And then I think then they probably wait a little bit. Not all of the schools have a Year 12 graduation, but, you know, I've got Yay's presentation day coming up and Alexandra's and the Warrawa Aboriginal College. They've started doing their presentation too, which is... And they do things a little bit differently, being, you know, much more spiritual. They've got really great totems down there, and the grounds are really, really lovely, actually. Healesville have their split into junior and senior. You know, and Alexandra will have theirs. So there's lots of these things to go to. Sometimes the primary schools might invite you to the their end of year performance. Some of the smaller schools, you know, have a little bit of a performance where all the kids are involved, which is really, really quite good. And I think Queen's Park, the Kinder, have got something coming up too. The
because it's a big
Queen's
thing.
Park Kinder, I think, is 60 years old.
True, it's a big thing for some of these young people to actually get up and perform in front of others too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And some people do it much more naturally and easier than others. And I guess that's probably why some kids end up as school captains too, because they're really good at speaking in front of crowds. But this is a bit of a shout-out. On the Saturday, the 6th of December, from 10 till 12, there's a Christmas fete for celebrating 60 years of the Queen's Park Kinder. So if you know Queen's Park in Healesville, big park just along the Graceburn, lovely, you know, where the swimming pool is, it's where the tennis courts are, there's a beautiful new playground, and there's a kindergarten nestled in amongst that too. So 60 years of the Queen's Park Kinder. So I'll be ducking along to that. I think that's a pretty good one. And I think on Saturday I was also at the Buxton 150th.
Gee, yep.
Yeah, I know. Little, you know, these little areas, little schools. We had Warburton's 150th not that long ago, and Buxton, you know, just passed.
And some of those, I don't know about Buxton, but some of those schools were on land originally donated by farmers too, didn't they?
Yeah, similar to the CFAs. You know, typically somebody made land available and they kind of had a bit of a half a shed, and then it became a bit more of a shed and maybe even had a fire. The one at Buxton actually was quite funny because it had, we want to have our school more than 3 days a week. Or 3 weeks a month or something like that. There was something really peculiar that, you know, they didn't start us all day every day like we have our schools now.
Didn't they? That's unusual, isn't it?
Maybe it wasn't, but I thought it was.
Maybe
we make assumptions about what things are like in those days.
Yeah, well, that's true too, isn't it? And I was down at one of these villages, the old style village down in Maui. And you look at the old school buildings that the kids were in, and, you know, all in the one classroom. I don't know how the teachers taught from sort of almost year one to year six, all in the one room with maybe only two kids in some classes, in some of the grades.
And when I was a kid, there were some small schools like that, small primary schools. I think there was one at Murrindindi Woodburn, and Glenburn had one, and you know, you had one teacher and, you know, they'd stoke up the fire.
Yep. And they were...
Keep kids warm.
and the one, when I was down there, I saw these, they had a tour by a school and they were showing the boys that they had to line up and the girls lined up and the boys were not allowed to move until the girls were inside the classroom and sitting down, and then the boys got to go in.
Yeah?
And they showed them...
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and they showed them the inkwells and the kids didn't know what they were talking about. And a bottle of ink.
Yeah, yeah.
Cindy,
well, do you know, actually, here's something nice to end on. We had the Victorian Institute of Sport were in the other day, and in a parliament, and I walked in and I thought, oh, there's Kieran Perkins, bit of a fangirl moment, and I was talking to him, and we were talking about when he won the gold medal from Lane 8. Of course, everyone talks to him about that.
Yep.
And he said, because I told him I was playing hockey and everyone was late to hockey, but depends how far you lived away depended how late you were. So if you lived a long way away, you were the latest because we all watched it.
You all stayed home to watch it.
And he said, do you know the funny thing is, though, to tell kids that you only watched the telly from one point in your house.
Yeah.
And that was all, you know, you didn't have multiple TVs. You didn't have it on your phone. You couldn't go, you know, it wasn't everywhere else. Everyone had to stick by the telly.
And you didn't have a remote.
You didn't have a remote. But he said, kids these days, he said, you know, when I sort of explained that everyone was at home watching and they're like, what do you mean? Can't you watch it in the car? Can't you watch it here? It's like, no.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, we all progress with the times, or most of us do. We don't want to get left behind. But you sort of forget that there were those sorts of days.
No, and kids can look at their iPads or their laptops or whatever and download a movie, and they can all be in a different room watching a different movie rather than, you know, all being in the lounge room huddled around the one small TV. Not a big flat screen.
No, no. I think, what, they were 17-inch, weren't they? They're only little screens.
Yeah, they were little.
Cindy, time for us to go. Thank you for your time again. We will talk to you on Christmas Eve, just very briefly.
Okay.
And
no worries.
I hope you enjoy all these get-togethers at the schools, because it's terrific to watch some of these young kids.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely to see them grow up.
Thanks, Cindy.
No worries, Alan.